Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to take this time to thank you for joining me on this evening's broadcast. I invite you to grab your Bible, pen, and paper, and sit back and relax as we feast on the Word of God. For it is written in John 8:32, "But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Oh,
I thought the microphone was on. Lord have mercy. Welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your host, Evangelist Teresa Scott. And I just want to say thank you so, so, so much for joining us on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a pleasure to be on Blog Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to have people join us on Blog Talk Radio to hear the truth of the Word of God. I know that, you know, no man knows everything, but I do thank God for giving us His Word. I thank Him for giving us understanding of His Word. And I thank God for people just like you who come by and stop by and help me out and encourage me and everything like that. So I just want to give shout-outs to all the listeners who come in and help me out. My husband, first and foremost, I thank God for him who He celebrates me and he, you know, honors me and he supports me. And that's very important when you're doing something like this in a marriage, that your spouse is there to support you and help you out.
Okay.
I didn't know you were there at that moment. I thought you were eating, but I thank God for you too being here. You know, if it wasn't for your encouragement, I don't think I would have been on Blog Talk Radio for over a year.
Amen. Beautiful.
Yeah, but I do thank you for your encouragement. Glory to God. And I just wanted to say, for enriching words of life, I don't know your first name, but I thank you for joining us on tonight. And, honey, I would like for you to pray for her, because she is something's wrong. Her back. She says she's been laid out all day. Her back is, she must have pulled something in her back, or he. I'm sorry, must have pulled something in his back. And I'm just looking at his profile right now. Michael. Okay, so if you could just pray for him so that he can get healing in his back, if you don't mind.
I certainly will.
All right, go ahead.
I believe it's Apostle Greenleaf, I believe. That is?
No.
Okay, there's another.
Wait a minute.
I thought that was their name.
Riching. Oh, wait a minute. Something else came up. I'm sorry. Something else just came up. I'm sorry. I'm looking for... Anyway, just pray for the person that has their back out. That is Apostle Greenleaf, isn't it?
I think that's the name of that ministry. But we'll want to pray for whoever it is.
But something else came up when I hit on it. Something else came up. Successful Living Broadcast came up.
Oh, okay. Well, there's something else. Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, not a respecter of persons.
He sure isn't.
Of a healing, God will heal. Whoever's in need of God's intervention, God will certainly intervene. And I'm so glad that He's not a respecter of persons, but He loves us all equally.
It's Apostle Greenleaf, honey. It's Apostle Greenleaf.
Okay. I thought that was his ministry. God bless. Oh, gracious Father in heaven, we ask that you will come right now and enter into the body of our friend and our apostle, Paul Greenleaf, that you will heal him of the affliction that he's now suffering. We know that you're able, Lord, because you were able to do it in the days of your time on earth. And you said that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we call upon your name right now. You are the great physician. You all who are the healer of healers. The doctors may mend, but you're the one who heals. The doctors may stitch up, but you're the one that makes whole. So, Lord, we ask that you will just touch his body right now, and particularly his back. Massage it through your Holy Spirit. Allow it to be eased of its discomfort right now in the name of Yahshua. Oh, Lord, we know that you're able, and we know that you cannot fail. Lord, we lift him up. We lift him up and his wife and his ministry. We rebuke the wiles of the devil who's trying to impede him and them in their ministry, but he has no place in the scheme of things. He has no place in your grand design. So, Lord, we ask that you will just allow your healing presence to touch him right now. Whatever the affliction may be, whatever the complaint may be, whatever the ailment may be, Lord, we ask that you will touch him right now. We thank you for his dedication, for his commitment, for his devotion to you, Lord. And we know, dear Lord, that you said that you would never forsake us nor turn your back on us. And so we lean upon your word. We rely upon your word. We depend upon your word. For you've never lied. You've always been true and blue. You've always been right and on time. Whatever you said is. If an amen, so be it.
Hallelujah.
We ask that you would just come right now and heal and make whole our brother. And then all of those, dear Lord, that may be on this program, whether they're on the live program or whether they're on the in the chat room or will be in the archives listening to this program later on, Lord, if there's a physical challenge in their lives, if there's a spiritual challenge in their life, if there's an emotional challenge in their life, we ask, dear Lord, that you will remove the challenge and give them deep, deep, subtle peace in their heart. Let them know that earth has no sorrow, that heaven cannot cure, cannot heal, cannot deliver. And so, Lord, we ask for all of those who stand in the need of a special unctioning from you, a special touch from you, a special anointing from you, to have it done according to your will and according to your way. We submit to you, Lord, totally.
Yes, Lord.
Completely. We surrender.
Hallelujah.
We are, and all that we are, to you, Lord, so that you can make us and have us be all that you require us to be. And now, Lord, hear this, your humble servant's prayer. Heal my wife, Lord. Continue to touch her body as she continues to press on to that mark of the high calling, which is in your son, Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. And now, Lord, hear this humble servant's prayer. While others are our callings, do not pass any of us by.
God.
We need you.
Yes, Lord.
We need you this hour.
Yes.
And we're going to need you the hours yet ahead. For you promised, Lord, that you'll stand by us, even when we seem to be standing alone. That you'll love us, even when it seems as though no one else does. And, Lord, we know through the sacrifice you made through your son, that the great love you have for each and every one of us. For you gave your very son, your only begotten, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life and have life more abundantly.
Amen.
Now, Lord, hear this prayer. Bless this service. That's what I call this program this evening. It's a service.
Hallelujah.
Sing up the name of Yahshua. In the name of Yahshua, Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Honey, I'm loving that prayer. That prayer was really right on time.
God bless you.
Not just for Apostle, but for me too. Still a little shaky over here. I don't know what's going on, but I received my healing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm trying to look. Something's going on in this chat room. Enriching Words of Life Ministry sent a private chat video request. I don't know what this is, but no. I'm not going to accept that. I don't know what happened. Good evening, Bible Truth Benny. Glad you dropped by. We're going to be talking about, does God really accept our worship? And does God really accept our praise? Because I think sometimes we just offer God anything. And some of the tags that I put on there tonight was dirty sacrifices, unholiness in the church, God requires clean hands, God requires a pure heart, and also we need to turn back to God. I really am excited tonight. I just received excellent word in my inbox about a program that we're having in June. So, honey, we got a favorable report from society.
Amen.
Yes, we got a favorable report, so I thank God for that. So we're going to go ahead on with the program. It's Bible Truth Benny and Apostle Greenleaf. If you guys want to call in, my husband's already on the line, as you can hear, but Bible Truth by Benny. If you guys want to call in at area code 323-693-3054, if you want to call in to get in on the conversation, that would be great. Because sometimes I just don't feel like talking by myself. So, you know, honey, if step in and help me where you can. I was invited to go out this evening, to a women's Bible study, so I may be ending the broadcast a little bit early this evening because I just received the call at 4 o'clock. So I'm waiting for them to get back in touch with me, and if they do, I'll be ending the broadcast probably around about 6:20-ish, about an hour from now, okay? But if I don't receive the call, we're just going to go on as normal, amen. Before I continue, I want to say that we at Refuge of God Church Ministries, which my husband is the pastor, we have Bible study on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., and we have worship service at 12 o'clock on Sundays. And we are in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I neglected to say that last time I made the announcement. We are in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the ministry phone number is 215-747-1514.
Okay.
My husband, Bishop Scott, can be found on Facebook at Bishop Gerald Scott. And I can be found on Facebook at Teresa, God is Making Me Over Again, Scott. Now, the God is Making Me Over Again is one whole word on Facebook. I also can be found on Spreaker, and I can be found on LinkedIn, as well as Twitter, and TalkShoe. Okay? So we're uploading some podcasts over on Twitter. We'll probably be doing some more tonight, but we want to get the word out. We want to get the word of God out because we're living in perilous times. I wrote a post on Facebook today because I was kind of just disturbed the fact that Christian values are just taken for granted. I know that we have things that we do as Christians that, you know, would make the world not want to get saved. A lot of people do things that are not godly in character. But it just seems like the world has tried to deliver a slam dunk to the body of Christ to tell us what we should and what we should not believe. We were looking at a program today, and it really I got upset behind it and found myself arguing at the television because the person was saying that if you don't, you know, agree with certain issues, then you're ignorant. You know, you're just ignorant and you're judgmental and you're biased. But that's not the truth. As Christians, as believers, there are certain things that we must take a stand on. If we're believers and we're followers of Christ, there are certain things that we have to stand up for, whether the world likes it or not. And I just find it grieving to my spirit that every time I turn around, the world is telling the church how we're supposed to act. The world is telling the church how we're supposed to believe. They've even gotten up in our praise and worship, believe it or not, because we did open up the door and allow the world to come into our praise and worship, where we think that because a song has a beat and we jump around and maybe we might have, you know, ran around a church or got happy, as people call it, that God is okay with that. But I just was a little bit disturbed by the fact that this person was on TV and saying that people are ignorant because they don't accept alternative lifestyles.
And let me, may I just chime in, Evangelist? And the sad part about that, and I shared the program with you, we were watching it together, another aspect of that is the day before that, this person was reprimanding one of his one of the persons on the other on the program for their not being faithful to God, and that he belonged to a church in the Motor City.
Well,
he belonged,
you know what, honey?
Bona fide member, tithe paying, you know, member of this church, and was saying, when you get back home, make sure you go to my church and the pastor will receive you. He has a wonderful message, da 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 da. And then the very next day, I don't know what the church stands for, or whether this is their own personal view, or whether it's their denomination or their church's view, I don't know. But it just seems more than a coincidence. And I think that's part of the challenge as well, that the church is agreeing with the world and many of the issues of this modern day, that we're siding with the world. You discovered something that I never knew. A few weeks ago, we were talking about atheists and how they, through Madeline O'Hare, got, and a few others, just about 1,000 signatures, how they had gotten prayer out of school back in the late 50s, early 60s. And what you discovered, and you shared with me, and I was really taken aback somewhat, that of the endorsements of those who supported her position. And they weren't the Satanists. They weren't agnostic groups and atheistic groups and other groups that you would think would be in support of her position. It wasn't the secular press or anything like that. It wasn't the communists who don't believe in God and all of that that stood with her position. But rather, it was the United States Council, the National Council of Churches.
Exactly. And that's what
a mainstream denomination belongs to.
I believe that he was stating the position of his fellowship because he spoke too freely about his church and inviting this woman to his church. I believe he was stating the position of his church. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I believe he was. If you listen to a lot of things he says, and he's a public figure, so his church knows what's going on because I know they know who he is. And a lot of things that he says on the broadcast, he has no business saying. He has sex talk on there. I mean, he allows people to talk about their sex lives on there. He allows people to talk about all kinds of stuff that really has nothing to do with the cases presented. Okay, a lot of times, all that stuff that they're talking about pre-case, that has nothing to do with the case in and of itself. All right, so a lot of stuff goes on within the quote-unquote the sanctuary, and we think that God is accepting it. We think that it's okay because there's been no fire and brimstone that came down from heaven and destroyed everything. There's not been a flood that has destroyed the world as in the days of Noah. So we tend to get a little lackadaisical about things and think, you know, everything is good with God when actually it's not. Actually it's not. It's not. God wants us to turn away from the world. He doesn't want us to keep offering him stuff that's unacceptable to him. He's not accepting it. We're just wasting our time. We're not wasting God's time. We're wasting our time when we think that we can just offer God strange fire. We think we can offer God anything we want to offer him. So what we want to do is we want to be aware of God's word. We want to not only be hearer of God's word, but we want to become doers of God's word. If people would have, in the instance of Madeline, what's her name, Madeline O'Hare?
Yeah.
Okay, Madeline Murray O'Hare, whatever her name is. If we would have banded together and stood on what we believe as Christians, prayer probably would still be in school today for God's right. We didn't stand up for what he demands then, and we're definitely not standing up for what he demands. We're not standing up for righteousness and holiness. We're not standing up for that. We've let anything come into the church, and we think that it's okay. We've allowed anything to come in the church, and it's just supposed to be acceptable unto God. Well, I want to say this, that a lot of stuff that's going on in the church is God's not accepting it. It's not going any further than the ceiling. Some of the stuff that's going on is not going on any further than the ceiling. And I want to read some scriptures to you. The first one I want to read is the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And it says, but an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It says we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Those who worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must not worship him according to our flesh. We must not offer him worship according to what we think other people are going to agree with and what other people are going to like. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, not out of our flesh. He wants us to worship him out of something that is acceptable to him, not what's acceptable to man, because everything that is acceptable to man is not automatically acceptable to God.
I just need to say that. Not everything that is acceptable to man is acceptable to God. We treat God as if he's human. God is not human. This scripture right here just told us that God is spirit. It didn't say God is a spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not an option. He said you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Good evening, Patriot Greg. Thank you for joining us tonight. So God didn't give us an option on how to worship him. He said those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He did not just say, oh, well, you could, Teresa, you know, because you're Teresa, you could just come in and do whatever you want to do, and then you can go back out, and you can lay around with who you want to lay around. You can cuss out who you want to cuss out. You can backstab whoever you want to backstab. He didn't tell me that. He said I must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what the word of God says. Okay, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. It says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their censers, and after putting fire in them, took incense and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Now, I just want to say, I want to ask this question. What in the world would happen if God started consuming folks for offering strange fire to him? What would God say if, I mean, what would we say if God would begin to strike us dead when we offer strange fire to him? There will be a lot of dead folks today in the sanctuary. It will be a lot of dead folks. I'm telling you, just crispy burnt up because of offering strange fire. We do whatever we want to do, and then we come back to the church and just want to offer it to God. And God's not accepting it. It's strange fire. I did a teaching on this before about strange fire, offering strange fire to God. He is not a man that he has to accept whatever we give him. See, the pastor, the bishop, the apostle, okay, the prophet, well, I don't want to say the prophet, but the pastor, the bishop, and the apostle, those that really are in church teaching and preaching, especially if you have a large congregation, you're not going to always see and know what's going on with the people in your congregation. So you don't always know that people are in your church and they're, you know, dancing and doing their form of worship to God, but right before they came to church, they was outside smoking weed, or they was outside, you know, abusing their spouse or their children, or they was doing something ungodly and just came into church and started lifting up hands. The Bible says we're supposed to lift up holy hands. Holy hands. He didn't say anything about lifting up unholy hands or unclean hands. He said lifting up holy hands. See, but we don't, we've gotten so used to taking what the world says is okay, taking advice from the world, taking advice from Satan, taking advice from unclean spirits as to what worship is, that we've lost focus on what real worship is. We've lost focus on what real praise is. We think, you know, praise is the beat. You know, it got to be the beat. It got to be, you know, if the beat is going on, oh, yeah, you got your praise on. Probably half of the stuff God is not even accepting because we're trying to appease our flesh because we're bopping to the beat. But where is the praise of Almighty God? See, the beat can't get me in heaven, and the beat can't keep me out of hell. But my praise, and my, if I adore God, if I really, really, really just think about what he's done for me, and I begin to thank him, I begin to give him honor, I begin to lift him up, I begin to exalt him, I begin to just tell him how good he is, that's praise and worship to him. That's saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I adore you. Father, I just praise you. I glorify you. I worship you. I adore. No, see, we got to have a song, we got to have a this, we got to have the organ playing, and it got to play just right, and we got to shout just right, and we got to dip, and we got to do all this stuff, okay? And all that stuff is not necessary all the time. So, sure, the Holy Spirit might move on you and you might shout. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying that that's not the Spirit of God. But what I'm saying is that we got to get back to God and get back to worshiping him in the Spirit. Because the Word of God tells us bodily exercise profiteth little. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but we can do all of that stuff if we want to, but it's profiting little. What matters is what's going on with our spirit and our soul. That's what matters. That's what matters. See, we've been deceived. We've allowed deception. We've given in. We've reduced our standards to the world. And saying that we want the world to come into the church. But Jesus never lowered his standards when he talked to the people. When Jesus was ministering to the people, not one time did he lower his standards. Not one time did he become like the world to win the world. No, he won the world because he was on assignment from his Father, but he was holy and he was righteous. And he didn't change because of what the people were doing. He worshiped God. I was looking at a program on TV, and it is a bunch of women, and I'm not going to say the name, but anyway, it's a reality program. I was looking at it actually on the internet, and they're supposed to be holy women. They're supposed to be, you know, first ladies or whatever. And it's this one lady. Other people say she's a little bit overboard or whatever the case is. She stands on what she believes. And even these people are ridiculing her because she stands on what she believes. And this is what happens. We don't stand on what we believe. That's why Madeline O'Hare was able to come take prayers out of school, because we don't stand on what we believe. We don't stand on worship should be. We should just, you know, get on our knees and begin to commune with God in the spirit. We don't teach that. It's about the music when you come in church. If the church doesn't have a band, if the church doesn't have this and the church doesn't have that, oh, it's a major problem. Oh, I don't want to go back to that church because they didn't have music and they didn't have a band and they didn't have this and they didn't have. Come on. Where in the world can you find that it says that you cannot worship God unless you have music? Where in the world does it say that? Now, get me, I understand that sometimes we do have to have assistance because sometimes things are going back. I mean, so things are happening in our lives, and maybe we do need a little help, okay? So I'm not saying that, because there's times that I go through stuff and I put my music on. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I'm trying to get myself from wherever I am that I don't need to be to get myself to focus on God. So I do that, and I'm not discounting that. But we have seemed to replace that to be our total form of worship and praise. I was in one church, and I tell you what, one time they was in church, and the person was playing the organ. People were praying or whatever, and they started playing the organ and everything. And the pastor said, turn the music off. Turn the music off. He said, I don't want none of this. Turn the music off. I want to see, can y'all praise God without the music? And let me tell you something. The whole tone of the church changed because people were so used to having music on. They were so used to, you know, entertainment and being hyped up before they could even go in and praise God. And the pastor was like, this is a mess right here. This is a mess. We should be able to worship God and praise God without music. If there was never any music at all, we should be able to worship and praise God without music. So, anyway, in the chat room, Apostle says, so-and-so show is a mess. I think it's wrong. I have not seen that show yet, and I refuse to watch it. Well, actually, let me tell the truth. I saw a snippet of it, and what I saw, I said, I can't watch this program because, you know what, and this is another thing. We're supposed to worship God. This is not a form of worshiping God. This is a form of bringing shame to the body of Christ. This is my opinion. Okay, maybe my opinion may be wrong to some other people, but how is it that we get on church and on TV and do the things that we do on TV that we're not supposed to be doing as Christians? In relationships that are they're unmarried and in relationships, but yet you sing and praise songs to God, but yet you sing and worship songs to God. Are you really singing them to God? Who are you really singing them to? Are you, I mean, some people out here singing, I interviewed Ernest Pugh on my broadcast, and he said on the broadcast, he said, people are singing songs about a Jesus they don't even know. He said people are singing songs about a Jesus they don't even know. And I tell you, that thing has stuck with me ever since he was on my broadcast. Singing songs about a Jesus you don't even know. And God wants us to get to know him. He wants us to get to know him, Patriot Greg. He wants us to get to know him, Bible Truth by Benny. He wants us to get to know him, Apostle Greenleaf. He wants us to get to know him, Bishop Scott. He wants us to get to know him, Teresa Scott. He wants us to get to know him in the spirit. God is not a man. He's not a joke. He's not a play toy. He wants us to get to know him, and he wants us to worship him. But we got to have a relationship with him in order to be able to worship him. We got to have a relationship with him. Not treat him just like, oh, yeah, you my Mac daddy, you my pimp daddy, you my daddy, you my, I just come to you because I want this, that's all. Are you kidding me? That's not a relationship. Or at best, it's a relationship based on what you can get. It's like you friends with benefits. And we know today friends with benefits means more than that. But that's how we treat God, like he's just a friend with a benefit. And you're not really a friend, you're an acquaintance with benefits. And that's how we treat God. Where is the true worship? Where is the true praise? We're scared that somebody's going to say it don't take all of that, but it does take all of that. Because God said in his word, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. They that worship me must. Not, oh, well, you could worship me any way you want to. Go back and read the word of God. Leviticus 10, 1 and 2 says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, Aaron the priest. These were the sons of Aaron the priest. Took their censers, and after putting fire in them, took incense and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. He didn't command them to offer that. God didn't command them to offer that. They did it the way they wanted to do it. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Dropped dead. Graveyard dead. Because they offered what they wanted to offer to God. Lord, have mercy. Honey, where are you? Where are you, honey? Where are you?
Right here. Right here.
Genesis 4. Verses 3 and 5 says, so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his face was downcast. That tells you right there, God don't just accept anything. I today still don't know why God did not accept Cain's offering. I don't know why he didn't accept his offering. But what I do know is that one was acceptable and one was not. What I do know is that the things that we offer to God today, some of that stuff is acceptable and some of it's not. Second Chronicles 26, verse 16. Second Chronicles 26, verse 16, it says, but when Uzziah became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He was unfaithful. He was being unfaithful, but yet he still went in the temple to offer incense to God. Doesn't it sound like today? Doesn't it still sound like we're living that today? Doesn't it sound like today the same thing is happening, that we just offer anything we want to offer? Doesn't that sound the same thing? I mean, like, it's like, hello.
Hello.
We're talking about the Old Testament, folks, but the same stuff is happening today. Unclean, coming into church unclean and offering stuff to God, unfaithful to God, but still trying to offer something up to him. Oh, well, I prayed, and that's what God wanted to do, and I came to church, and that's what God, honey, if your heart's not right.
Then you're not right.
That's right. If your heart's not right, If our hearts are wicked, we're wicked. If the eye is evil, the whole body is evil. And we don't want to, no, we don't want to say, why would you say that, evangelist? Don't say that. Huh? I have to say that. Because God is desiring us to offer him true praise and true worship. He said we must. He said we must. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not accepting anything else from us. He's not accepting anything else from us. Okay? I just want to read something to you, and I'm going to read this. This is something that I found off the internet, and I was amazed when I found it because when I was doing study on this thing, and it was like, wow, Lord, this is addressing exactly what I wanted to talk about tonight. But before we go to that, let's turn to Ezekiel. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. And we went over this the other night, but I don't think that, you know, you should just go over the word once and just let it be like that. I think we should just go over the word as the Spirit leads us to do it, and so we can get an understanding of his word. I can't even spell right now, y'all. I'm trying to spell E-Z-E-K-I-E-L, Ezekiel chapter 9, and I'm trying to go and look at this because we went over it the other night, and I believe it was in Ezekiel chapter 9. Was it Ezekiel 9, honey, the other night? When we were talking about,
I know you were in Ezekiel. I know. I'm trying to think, you were in Ezekiel. Now, what are we talking about now? I'm trying to think what the topic was.
When the Lord sent those angels, and he told those angels to clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He told them to go and start at his sanctuary first. He said, start at the sanctuary first. And it's Ezekiel 9. Let me, I'm going to just see if I can read this. It says, he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate. Is this the one that I want to read? Yeah. From the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. He said, begin at my sanctuary. Begin at my sanctuary. God was sending people in to smite everybody that did not have that mark on their head. And he said, start at my sanctuary. Begin at my sanctuary. God is cleaning house. He was cleaning house back then, and he's cleaning house right now. He wants us to come out of the flesh and walk in the spirit. He wants us, the only way we can do that is we have to practice this thing. We have to do this thing as a daily thing, to walk in the spirit. When we live in the flesh, I'm talking about live in the flesh, have a lifestyle in the flesh. When we do that, we are becoming enemies of God. We cannot say that we are born again and we're still living in the flesh. We can't say that we're really born again and we're not doing the things that God tells us to do. He wants our spirit. He wants our soul. He wants us to be renewed in our minds. He wants a relationship with us. And he wants us to do whatever it takes. Just worship him. Worship him in the spirit. Forget everybody else.
Amen.
Maybe if we begin to just worship God in our homes. If we just begin to worship God behind closed doors, when we get to the church, maybe the anointing of God will rub off of us and hit the rest of the people, and they'll begin to worship him. Maybe if they begin to worship God in their closed doors, behind their closed doors and come to church, maybe the anointing of God will begin to rub off on us. Maybe if we just go to church and don't have any music playing or don't do anything, just begin to get on our knees and begin to tell God thank you. Begin to tell God how much we love him. Begin to tell God how much we adore him. Tell God, begin to tell God how much we need him. Tell God, we just begin to tell him whatever is on our heart as far as relationship to lifting him up, exalting him, giving him glory, giving him honor. But we're so busy looking for glory and honor ourselves that we can't even worship God in spirit and truth. Worshiping God in spirit and truth is so foreign, it's not even funny. It's foreign to a lot of people. You come in, I mean, I've seen things on television where people have bands and they have all the stuff with the smoke and the this and the that and the other to get people pumped up so they can have some form of worship. I don't understand. We got to get back to it. We got to get back to it. We got to get back to it in Jesus' name. We got to do what it takes. I challenge any pastor. I challenge any bishop. I challenge any apostle. I challenge any person that is ahead of a church who would hear this broadcast that if you have a congregation and you're dependent on music to get you into the spirit of worship, I challenge you to challenge your church to worship God in spirit and in truth. I challenge you to challenge your people to shut down the music and just go begin to talk to God and begin to praise him from the spirit. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. Begin to just praise God. Just begin to lift him up. It doesn't matter what other people think. See, God does more for us than we will ever know that he does for us. It's not just that he woke us up today. God protected us as we slept. God heals us when we're sick. God blesses us when we don't even know when we're being blessed. We don't know what the order of day was for us as far as the enemy is concerned, but we do know that God bless us, and we should be praising him for that. Father, I thank you. I glorify you. Thank you. I bless your name. It's not about Teresa. It's not about titles. It's not about the alphabet at the end of the name. It's not about all of that stuff. It's about worshiping God. Time is almost, it's almost 6 o'clock already. My. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to read this. It says, before we expand on the meaning of spirit and truth, worship, which is acceptable to God, let us talk briefly about worship that is not acceptable to God. There are several examples of unacceptable worship in the Old Testament. The worship of false gods was obviously unacceptable. We are referring here to the worship of the true God, but worship which was offered in ways that were unacceptable. The first example is the unacceptable worship of Cain in Genesis 4. Cain's worship was acceptable because he brought the wrong offering. Evidently, God had communicated that acceptable worship was to be by means of sacrifice, because Hebrews 11 states that Abel's worship was by faith. Cain decided to bring an offering of his own choosing and then was extremely angry when God wouldn't accept it. According to Jude 11, there are people today who have gone the way of Cain. Their worship is unacceptable because, like Cain, they insist on bringing offerings of their own way, of their own choice. Offering our own good works to God as a means of our salvation is an example of bringing the wrong offering to the Lord. This is unacceptable worship, regardless of how noble or sacrificial or religious those good deeds or actions may be. Okay? In Leviticus 10, we read of Nadab and Abihu, who had offered strange fire before the Lord. As a result, the scripture says that they died before the Lord. Their worship was unacceptable because of wrong procedure. We could do things that it seems like it's right, but if God said don't do it that way, then that's what he meant. This is me talking. If God says don't do it that way, then that's what he meant. As long as our worship is Christ-centered and Christ-focused, there is considerable freedom in procedure. For example, God does not restrict the forms of instruments for our musical, whether we sit, stand, or kneel when we sing or pray. He does not define the time or length of schedule of our worship services, whether it be individual or corporate worship. There's room for considerable variety in our worship. But worship that is not Christ-centered is strange fire. It is unacceptable worship. The worship of Unitarians or Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, is unacceptable to God because the doctrines of these groups deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They thus dishonor the very one who must be the focus of our worship. Okay? Uzziah was one of the good kings of Judah, but Uzziah's worship in 2 Chronicles 26 was unacceptable because he assumed the wrong role. Uzziah went into the temple and offered incense before the Lord. According to the law, only priests were allowed to enter the temple, and Uzziah was not a priest. Even though he was the king of Judah, he usurped the God-given role of a priest, and his worship was unacceptable. I'm so glad today we can go before the throne by ourselves. I'm so glad we don't need Jesus. I thank you. I'm so glad we don't need somebody to go in and offer a sacrifice for us. I'm so glad that we can go right to the throne of grace. We can go right to the throne ourselves, and we don't have to wait for somebody to do it for us. Glory to God. Can we get an amen right there? I'm serious. I am so glad that we don't have to wait for somebody else to go in and do this thing for us, that we can worship God anyway right now.
Amen.
Thank you. See, but we don't want to sacrifice. We want to just give God anything. Lord have mercy. Woo! Jesus. I'm going to just read this part, then we're going to see what happens. Acceptable worship before God today has three characteristics, according to what the Lord said in John 4:23-24. First of all, we should recognize and enjoy the father-child relationship. An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, in verse 23. The concept of God as our personal Father was not revealed in the Old Testament, although God did reveal himself as Father in the sense of the creator and preserver of his people, Israel. With the coming of the Lord Jesus, however, the intimate relationship that is possible between God and a believer of any nationality was revealed and established. And it says, what a position and privilege we have as children of God. Do we recognize and enjoy this relationship with our Heavenly Father? True worshipers do. To visualize God as impersonal and distant is not a characteristic of acceptable worship. He says, let us work at realizing and recognizing the intimate personal presence of our Heavenly Father. We can bring great joy to our Father by being the kind of worshipers he's looking for. What kind of worshiper are you? What kind of worshiper are you?
My Lord.
He says the second characteristic of worship is acceptable to God, which is acceptable to God, is worship that is in spirit. This worship is not limited by certain selected locations or by outward forms of ceremonies or by material aids to worship. Does this mean that for acceptable worship to take place, we must do away with church buildings and stained glass windows and organs and liturgies? No. But it does mean that true worship should not depend on these helps and should certainly not be defined by them. True worship is simply the acknowledgement of who God is and what God does. It's a response made by God's people and addressed to God himself. The lives of all Christians should be characterized by true worship every day and in every situation because God is spirit. True worshipers must be in the spirit of the spirit. In the context of the conversation with the Samaritan woman, Jesus put the inner sphere in the spirit of the spirit in contrast with the extremely geological locations of Jerusalem, where the Jews worshipped in accordance with the law, and Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans worshipped according to their traditions, verses 21 and 22. With the coming of Christ and his sending of the Holy Spirit to indwell the hearts of believers, the focus of true worship would be the hearts of a believer is located anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. It's important to notice, however, that although in spirit, worship is from the heart, it is not characterized merely by emotional feelings. Hello. In spirit, worship is characterized by actions, thoughts, attitudes, and desires of hearts that have been made alive by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Is your worship of God in spirit every day and everywhere? Now, he's not saying go around and act like a nut in public and just do all of this stuff and to draw attention to yourself. That's not what he's saying at all. But he's saying that we got to We got to reach God in the spirit realm because that's who he is. And it has to be characterized by how we live. There's no way you're going to sit around and watch porn all day and say you're worshiping God in the spirit. It's not true. There's no way that we can sit around and do ungodly things that are written in Romans chapter 1, Revelation 22, Galatians chapter 5, all throughout the New Testament. There's no way that we can do things according to our flesh and live, you know, daily in our flesh and say that we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. No, 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 no. I'm going to tell you this that I know, that if we want to change, if we want to be holy and righteous before God, we can do it. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit will help us. He will take us to a level in the spirit. He will help us to get there and worship God in spirit and in truth. Yes, he will. But it's a lifestyle. Just like I just read here, it's a lifestyle. It's characterized by actions, thoughts, attitudes, and desires of the heart that have been made alive by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can change us. I want to tell you what I know. We have to be willing participants. We have to surrender. We have to give up our will in order to worship God in spirit and in truth. And when we begin to worship God in spirit and in truth, we're not going to just accept anything. And we're not going to just give God anything and tell him to accept it. Once we begin to worship him in spirit and in truth, oh, no, we don't want to offend God by just offering him strange fire. We don't want to offend God and go to him and say, here, well, this is what I'm giving you today, so take it. We act like we don't fear God. We act like we don't realize that God is God, and he has the power not only to kill us, but he has the power to cast our bodies into hell, our spirit and our body into hell. And we treat God like he's a homeboy down the street. You know, we treat him like he, you know, that's my boy right there. Yeah, that's my boy. No respect. No respect. And somebody said, well, you know, the people that are on the award shows, you know, they're not living holy lives, but they get on the stage and they say, God, I just thank God and, you know, I love you and I worship you. No, you don't. See, what we say got to match up with what we do. And what we do have to match up with what the Word of God says. We can't just change the Word and do what we want to do with the Word. We have to match up with what the Word says. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth because he is a God of spirit. Jesus is spirit. You don't see Jesus here anymore. He walked this earth 2,000 years ago. You don't see him here physically. He is spirit, but you can feel him. You can feel God everywhere you go. You don't have to wait till you get in a building. We don't have to wait until we get in a building with the stained glass or, you know, a storefront church. We don't have to wait, you know, for all of that. We can worship God in spirit and in truth wherever we are. We don't have to wait for the priest to go in and make prayers for us and do all of that stuff because the high priest, who is Jesus, glory to God, when he got up on that cross and when he died, the veil was rent so we can talk to God for ourselves. Hallelujah. The separation between us and God was no longer there, glory to God, because of what Jesus did on that cross. But it was a spiritual thing that happened. And we want to walk around in our flesh and think God's going to be acceptable to that thing. No, that's why he sent his son, his only begotten son. That was a spiritual thing that manifested. Yes, Jesus took that stuff on in his flesh, but it had a spiritual tone to it. It had a spiritual aspect to it. It was spiritual. He got beat. Yes, he did. His body took all of that stuff. He was wounded for our transgressions. Yes, he was. Bruised for our iniquities. Yes, he was. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. Yes, we were. Yes, we are healed. But it's a spiritual thing, honey. That relationship between us and God was made right to those who believe. So if that is spiritual, why don't we think that our worship and our praise should be spiritual? Because nothing in the flesh is going to heaven. Nothing in the flesh is going to heaven. Nothing. There's nothing even good in this flesh. Nothing. That's why we got to have a spiritual relationship. That's why God wants us to come to him in spirit and in truth. He wants. That's how you know who a true worshiper is. I could put on a costume and praise dance all day long. That does not make me a true worshiper. Hello, somebody. I could put white paint on my face and go around and do all of this, what they call it, miming and all of that stuff. That does not make me a true worshiper. And on the flip side of that, there are people that do that. There are true worshipers. So I'm not taking away from that. But what I am saying, that just because we put the makeup on, just because we put the clothes on, just because we put on these things and the outside looks good, what about our hearts? Are our hearts right when we're going to God offering him the sacrifice of praise? Are our hearts right when we're going before God offering him the sacrifice of worship? Are we perfect? Not at all. Not at all. But we're striving. We're striving for maturity in God every day. We're striving to get to that place where we need to be in God every day. And as we're striving to do this, we must strive to do this in the spirit, because there's nothing in the natural that's going to help us get spiritual. Nothing in the natural, because the word of God is not natural, it's spirit. We see it on a natural piece of paper and a natural book, but it's spirit and it's life. Jesus said it. These words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus said. So we can't do anything in our natural self to get us any more spiritual with God. We got to do this thing in the spirit. We got to cleanse our minds from filthiness. We got to cleanse our soul from filthiness. We got to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of this flesh and begin to get in the spirit. But if we don't read the word of God and meditate on the word of God and get a relationship with God and know who he is, how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? I'm asking myself the question. I'm not exempt from anything over here. We got to focus on Christ. We can't focus on what people thinking about us. Oh, girl, you know what? Girl, you was in there. I saw you, girl. You got so happy in church, and you were crying, girl. Yeah. Mm-mm. Nuh-uh. You have your reward if that's what you was looking for. You might as well have kept that. Man, you prayed so loud in tongues, man. I'm telling you, I never seen nobody pray like that. You were awesome. You preached so good. When we start bringing the attention to ourselves and doing what we want to do, that's not true worship. That's not true praise. That's self-centered something that we're trying to offer to God, and he's not even accepting it. I'm just saying, guess what? We got a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn. Some of the stuff that I was reading to you was called Devotions for Growing Christians. And that's the website, and it was called Acceptable Worship. Acceptable Worship, if you would like to go to the internet and check it out. Devotions for Growing Christians. And it's called Acceptable Worship. Amen. I'm done. Honey, I don't know. Do you have something you'd like to share with us?
Not tonight, my dear. It was beautiful.
You don't?
It was beautiful.
Amen. Amen. Well, at this time, there's no one on the calling line. I don't know if Patriot Greg wants to come in or Pastor Benny, if you want to call 323-693-3054. I'll open the phone lines for you guys if you want to call in and you have a question or a comment regarding this episode tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if nobody's going to call in, we just want to thank God for everything that he's done and everything that he is doing. We want to pray that
we just move in the spirit and we come out of our flesh because God is not accepting unclean sacrifice. He's not accepting it.
Amen.
We shouldn't offer it to him. He's a holy God. We should be ashamed of ourselves for offering God funky, stinky sacrifices. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be afraid of God to just go into the house of God that we call the church, that we call the temple, and just offer God anything. And then as soon as we turn around, as soon as we leave out the church, we're cussing somebody out. You was just in the spirit for real? What spirit were you really in? You know, Satan uses, he's all about the sorcery and the trickery and the witchcraft, you know. So some people are fooled by some of the stuff that's going on in the place they call churches around here. But God is never fooled. God is never fooled. And no matter how much you think God is going to accept, how much we think God is going to accept anything other than true worship, you're blinded. We're blinded by the enemy. If we think God, a holy God, a righteous God, is going to accept anything but true worship, we've been deceived. If we think that God is going to accept anything but what he required, clean hands and a pure heart, clean hands and a pure heart, if we think God's going to require anything less than that, we've been duped by the enemy. And he laughing all the way to hell with it. Uh-huh, they think they worshiping God. They ain't doing nothing. He know why. Because Lucifer was what? What was Lucifer in heaven, honey?
He was the cherub that God protected the throne of God, that covered it, the throne of God.
He covered the throne of God. He knew about worship, though.
Oh, yes, he did.
He knew about all of that stuff because he was right up there with him. So if he can get us to come down here and give false worship, stuff that looks like to man that you worshiping God, to appear holy before men, and he got you duped, me duped, everybody else duped, he's good with that. Satan's happy with that. He doesn't want us to come into the knowledge of coming into true worshiping of God. He don't want us to do that. He wants us to stay duped. He don't want messages like this to come forth about dirty sacrifices and unclean hands. He doesn't want us to know about Aaron's son, the priest. He don't want us to know about them, Nadab and Abihu. He don't want us to know about them who got consumed because they was offering strange fire. He wants us to preach prosperity messages. He wants us to preach to accept the gospel of inclusion, where God just accepts anything and everybody. Do what you want to do. But not here. We're not doing that. Not here. Because I got to make it in. I want to make it into heaven. And I want to make it in by living holy and righteous before God and worshiping him in spirit and truth. I don't want none of that other stuff. And, Lord, where I fall short, I ask you to help me. It's me, oh, Lord. It's me who needs to bring up my praise and worship, who needs to get in the spirit realm, get in that spirit realm more and more each day. It's me, Lord. Teresa, Scott, standing in the need of prayer, standing in the need of an understanding of your spirit, Lord God. I know I have your spirit, but God, I know you require more. You require more worship. You require more praise, and it's not from my flesh, Lord. You want it from the spirit. And if we begin to pray prayers like this and mean it, and allow the Holy Ghost to come in and help us with this thing, we'll see some changes. We won't be so quick to bow to the world. We won't be so quick to just do whatever the world says do. We will challenge everything they say and stand straight and stand on the word, no matter what the world says. Now it's time for us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds for real. Not conformed to this world anymore, but transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that he can be satisfied. I know when I was a little girl and I was in a foster home and I just wanted everybody to love me. I did everything I could for them to love me. I did everything I could to please them when I was a little girl because I wanted them to be proud of me. I wanted them to be pleased with me. And that's how we should feel about God. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. I want you to be pleased, God. It's not about this person over here and that person. It's about pleasing you, God. It's about pleasing you, and that should be our attitude. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, then we should just go on and give it to him. Not trying to wiggle our way out of it. Not trying to, you know, come up with an excuse why we can't. Because if the man on the job tells us to do something we don't want to do, we're going to do it because we're looking for something out of it. Well, if I'm worshiping God in spirit and in truth, I'm looking to reign with him forever. Yes, I am. I'm not going to sit there and tell you I'm not looking for anything, because I am. I want to live forever, eternally with him in a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, I do. Hell don't have nothing for me but torment. Hell don't have nothing for you but torment. God's not asking us to do something that we can't do. What kind of God would he be if he told us to worship him in spirit and in truth if we couldn't do it? He would be an unjust God. He would be an unfair God if he did that. But he's asking us to do something that he's given us the ability to do. He's given us his Holy Spirit. Well, if his Holy Spirit don't know how to worship him in spirit and in truth, then who does? I bless the name of the Lord tonight. I thank him for his word. I thank him for what he's doing. Glory to God. Thank you, Patriot Greg, Apostle Greenlease, and Bible Truth by Benny. Especially to my husband who's still on the line. Glory to God for joining us on tonight. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Monday. Same time, same station. Different link, but same station. Glory to God. And we don't know as of yet if Apostle Timberlake is going to be on because I have not received information from the other source I was talking about. But I'm just going to go ahead and schedule him for Monday anyway, and I'll be talking to him later on to see if he's still available for Monday, Apostle Timberlake. But let us lift up one another in prayer. Let us lift up the body of Christ in prayer. Let us begin to seek the Lord God in spirit and in truth. Let us begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. And where we've offered up strange fire to him, let us repent. Let us ask God to forgive us and repent. And don't offer any more strange fire. Don't offer any more strange fire to the true and living God. Offer him what he wants. And that's clean hands and a pure heart and true worship. Let us give him what he wants. Not what we think he wants, not what we want to give him, but let us give him what he wants. Glory to God, and it will be well with our souls. Amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. We're going to end right here. Thank you again for joining us. If you're in the Philadelphia area, 4710 Locust Street is where we have service on Tuesday, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at noon. Refuge of God Church Ministries, Bishop Gerald Scott. God bless you, everybody. Have a great, great night. We love you. Yeah.